This is Radio Superior 1945, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1945. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes station, KUWS. Tim Michael sitting in for Jack McKenna, reminding you that they're fighting harder than ever. Are you buying more war bonds than ever? It's 6 o'clock Central Wartime, Friday, February 23rd, 1945. Lou Martin is standing by with the war news. Rapid Ray is in with sports. Miss Ruthie is in with advice for women whose men are away at war. Plus songs from the hit parade. We also hope to have a live telephone hookup with Jack from whatever warm vacation haven he's enjoying.
I still don't know how he swung a week-long trip to the tropics.
The 6 o'clock news brought to you by People's Drug and East End Drugstores, where you can get healthy Norwegian cod liver oil for just 98 cents. She's all yours, Lou.
Thanks, Tim, and good evening, everyone. The southern tip of Iwo Jima has been taken by the U.S. Marines, and the grand offensive may be getting underway to end the war in Europe. We begin our shortwave world news roundup from Iwo Jima.
This is Iwo. Your correspondent, Elmont Waite, here. American Marines reached the summit of Mount Suribachi at the southern tip of Iwo Jima today. The stars and stripes were raised over the volcanic Suribachi after 97 hours of costly fighting. Marines are forcing Japanese out of tunnels and craters with flamethrowers and grenades. Admiral Nimitz summarized today's action in his daily communique from U.S. Pacific Fleet headquarters in Guam this way. The 28th Regiment of the United States Marines was observed raising the United States flag on the summit of Mount Suribachi at 10:35 this morning. End communique. The extinct volcano cone had been encircled by the 4th Marine Division of Major General Clifton Cates. Then, for 28 hours, the Leatherneck scaled the 45-degree cliffs. Hand grenades and demolition charges hurled down at them. But now, the Leathernecks command the 566-foot height, ending the rain of death fired by mortars and artillery by the enemy from this high ground. Little progress has been made toward the central part of the island and the airdrome there. No invasion of the Pacific War has been so costly. Tarawa, with its 3,000 casualties in 3 days, was considered the bloodiest fight until now. In the first 3 days of fighting here, 5,300 Marine casualties were counted, including 644 dead and 560 missing. That was as of 2 days ago. At that point, 1,222 Japanese were killed. Forward Area Commander Vice Admiral John Hoover watched the invasion from his warship. He said that Monday's invasion was touch and go for a while, and for a time, he said, our position appeared doomed. The most cheering news in today's communique was that conditions on the invasion beaches are improved and supplies are being unloaded. With the U.S. Marines on Iwo Jima, this is Elmont Waite. Calling Europe, come in London.
London, Red Miller, your correspondent. Berlin announced that the Allied grand offensive began in the west this morning and it would signal the resumption of a massive attack from the Red Army in the east. Berlin radio monitored here reports that General Eisenhower has launched his offensive by sending tanks and infantry to the Ruhr River, 28 miles west of Cologne on the Rhine. The attack has also hurled British Field Marshal Bernard Montgomery's forces into a breakthrough attempt in the north. This may be the beginning of what Soviet Marshal Stalin pledged yesterday. He spoke of Allied armies successfully routing the Nazi fascist armies in the east and west. Now Berlin's Deutschland radio reports that the zero hour has struck and is echoing across the Third Reich. In London, this is Rob Miller reporting. Calling Sweden, come in, Stockholm.
Stockholm reporting, Erik Granberg, your correspondent. While the German home front was held firm under the Nazis' iron grip, the big question now is whether the nerves of the people, reduced to the barest necessities of life, can stand up to continuous Allied bombings and the threat of the Russian advance. Berlinese these days are actually very tough during the bombings. I was in Berlin during the last great American bombing attack on February 3rd. I've been through 700 raids, and I can say that this was the worst. I direct hit on one underground station killed 320 people. In all, 25,000 Berliners died in that attack. I sought safety in an underground tunnel, considered one of Berlin's safest shelters. I was packed in with thousands of other people. Then the first bombs came. The ground heaved. Lights flickered. It seemed the concrete walls bulged. People scrambled about like frightened animals. Then came the next load of bombs. Six or seven striked above us and more farther away. This time the lights went out. We were left in a musty darkness. Pocket torches were lit but proved futile in the chalky dust which penetrated the eyes, the mouth, the nose, and the ears. People kneeled on the asphalt and prayed. From somewhere in the darkness, a woman screamed, "For heaven's sake, stop it!" Someone else yelled, "Shut up!" Four more strings of bombs fell on us, shaking the ground like a series of earthquakes. Then all the clear came. Hardly any of the crowd gushing out of the tunnel paid attention to the dead. Everyone had their own troubles. Bomb craters blocked the Bellevue Strasse, and many buildings were burned, including the detested People's Court, the old American consulate. The president of the court, Dr. Roland Freisler, has been killed. Apparently, nobody regretted his death. He had declared too many death sentences in order to keep Berliners in that tight Nazi grip. In Stockholm, this is Gerhard Granberg.
The U.S. House closed the books on yesterday's fisticuffs. John Rankin of Mississippi and Frank Cook of Michigan, both Democrats, apologized to the House and to each other. Mr. Rankin and Mr. Hook pawed at each other after an exchange of name-calling. Rankin said that Hook associated with the communists, and Hook called Rankin a liar. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Now, these words from our sponsor.
Say, Lou, did you see that front page photo today of the Iwo Beach?
AP photographer Joe Rosenthal took it. It was taken in the early going of the invasion.
Well, you know, the Marines were pinned down on the beach. It looked like they were on another planet. Wow, that was sobering stuff. Say, have you stopped into People's Drugstore East End Pharmacy as of yet? They have got some fantastic prices on everyday prices. 15-cent size Prince Albert tobacco, only 10 cents. 1-pound Prince Albert tobacco, 79 cents. 15-size Velvet tobacco, 10 cents. And 1-pound Velvet tobacco, 79 cents. Plus, you can get things like Norwegian cod liver oil, pint size, 98 cents. Vanita Hair Liqueur Nebulizer, $1.50. Flemix for coughs, due to colds, 59 cents, and 89 cents. Children's strength, only 49 cents. Plus things like carrying bags for $1.39, 60-cent Jad salts, 36 cents, and Doane's kidney pills, 75-cent size, for only 59 cents. So do yourself a favor and stop in today at People's Drugstore, East End Pharmacy.
A Superior woman has been notified that her husband is missing in action. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has today's casualty report.
Mrs. Germaine Inshow of Iowa Avenue was told by the War Department that her husband, Sergeant Clifford Inshow, has been missing in action since February 7th in France. He's been in the service since 1940, but has only been overseas 2 months. Staff Sergeant C.F. Dunning of Superior has been wounded in France. His wife has been told that he's recovering in a hospital in England. They have one son. Mrs. Clara Huseth of Spooner has been told that her son is missing in action. Private First Class Clifford Huseth has been missing since December 20th in Luxembourg during fighting of the Battle of the Bulge. A letter written by her son November 26th was received on January 2nd. Two other Huseth boys are overseas. A town of Washburn man is also listed as missing in action. 25-year-old Private First Class John Swanson has been missing since February 4th in Germany. Private Swanson returned to duty January 25th after recovering in a Paris hospital from bullet wounds to the legs. He's a graduate of Washburn High School. Lou?
Thanks, Mike. Slot machines, otherwise known as one-armed bandits, have disappeared from clubs in Douglas County. Superior City Manager Robert Buechner ordered the machines removed from clubs 1 year ago. Asked about these illegal machines, the acting district attorney Thomas Foley says, "It's news to me that there are any slot machines." Reports also from Hurley in Iron County, known for the active nightlife, say that gambling machines have also been withdrawn this week. Eno Heikola of South Superior paid a $100 fine today for drunken driving. Municipal Court Judge Claude Cooper ordered Heikola to pay the fine. And it seems our hometown hero is meeting some movie stars. Major Richard Bong and his new wife, Marjorie, are visiting Hollywood on their honeymoon. The nation's top ace and his bride got to meet several stars, including Betty Davis.
How about them apples? Thanks, Lou Martin, with the 6 o'clock news. I'm Tim Michaels for Jack McKenna, who is somewhere, I don't know where, on vacation.
Probably getting a tan on some tropical beach, sipping pina coladas, without even inviting his best buddy to come along.
You sound a little jealous, Lou.
No, I'm a lot jealous.
Let's check our forecaster for this Friday evening, February 23rd, 1945. Fair and mild tonight and this weekend. Tonight's low 20, with a high tomorrow, a downright balmy 33 degrees. Now, as Jack would say, it's music time. This is Benny Goodman and Stopping at the Savoy on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Thank you.
Benny Goodman and his orchestra, he does that song right every time, doesn't he? That's Stopping at the Savoy. You know, even with wartime shortages, George Bisark's Grocery has what you need. And at the right prices. Get a package of Kellogg's Corn Flakes for just 9 cents. It's 2 cents off its regular price. Or a one-pound package of lunch meat for 35 cents. Wiener's 33 cents a pound, and as long as you're getting hot dogs, pick up some sauerkraut, too, for just 18 cents a quart. George Bisark, the East End grocer, butcher, and baker. Phone 7765. Put on your boogie-woogie socks, and let's hear this 1943 hit from Tony Pastor. This is Bell Bottom Trousers on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Once there was a little girl who lived next to me, and she loved a sailor boy. He was only three. Now he's on a battleship in his sailor suit. Just a great big sailor man, but he's just as cute. Bell-bottom trousers, coat of navy blue. She loves her sailor, and he loves her too. When they walk along the street, anyone can see they are oh so much in love, happy as can be. Hand in hand they stroll along, they don't give a hoot. He won't let go of her hand even to salute. Bell-bottom trousers, coat of navy blue. She loves her sailor and he loves her too.
Where her sailor went, she was sure to go. Till one day he sailed away, where she doesn't know. Now she's gonna join the waves, maybe go to sea. Try to find her sailor boy, wherever he may be.
Bell-bottom trousers,
coat of navy blue.
She loves her sailor.
And he loves her too. If her sailor she can't find on the Bounding Main, she is hopeful he will soon come home safe again. So they can get married and raise a family. Dress up all the kiddies in sailor's dungarees. Bell-bottom trousers, coat of navy blue. She loves her sailor boy, and he loves her too.
That's Tony Pastor and his band with bell-bottom trousers for our sailor boys out there. Let me present Miss Ruthie Mollett with some words for our women listeners. Hey, Ruthie, nice hat.
What's wrong with my hat?
I said it was nice.
You said it was nice.
Well, I was just surprised by the size of that thing. I'm surprised that you don't develop neck problems.
The only pain in the neck around here comes from impolite announcers. Okay, girls, gather round. It's time for a few moments with Miss Ruthie.
I'll just remain very quiet over here.
It's good when a man knows his place. Girls, especially those whose boyfriends or husbands are over there, this is for you. It's easy to advise you to keep busy doing other things. I know I've been saying that for more than 3 years, but, well, I'm going to say what I should have said all along. You need to go out on a date once in a while. Are you all right?
Oh, okay, I'm okay. I just fell off my chair. Oh, boy, this gives him new meaning to the word off my rocker.
Look, it's sound advice to advise war wives not to date other men, but the alternative for most war wives living entirely in a female environment is pretty hard to take, I know. So, they must either choose to go stag or date to enjoy a man's conversation and companionship.
I'm all right. But we're going to get a lot of calls about this, Miss Ruthie.
It's too bad more towns don't have a place young wives and lonely married servicemen can meet for social evenings. Such a club might be sponsored by a local women's or church group. Society can certainly find no objection to lonely men and women getting together to dance or play games or just talk.
I can think of a few big scary Marines who might object to their wives playing games with guys in the Navy.
So girls, think about it. It's innocent recreation. This is Miss Ruthie with Just Us Girls. You can get up now, Mr. Michaels.
Thank you. I think it's safer here on the floor. Raisin next with sports. Our next number, perhaps appropriate, new from the 1945 hit parade. This is Harry James and his orchestra with the lovely tones of Helen Forrest and I Don't Want to Walk Without You on the Martin and McKenna Show. Harry James and Helen Forrest with I Don't Want to Walk Without You. Now, Rapid Ray Paulson is in with the sports. Howdy doody, Raymond.
Hey, Tim. Any phone calls about Miss Ruthie's comments?
A few. Mostly threats, proposed boycotts, but a couple of mashers like the idea of dating married war wives.
Oh, boy. It takes all kinds. Well, good evening, fans of the sporting world. Superior's three high schools begin the long road to the state playoffs tonight, while Cathedral and East will play hard. The favorite is Superior Central. Central, led by scoring magnate Harry Bud Grant, squares off on their home court against Cloquet. East visits Denfeld in West Duluth, and the Cathedral Panthers take on the Morgan Park Wildcats. Grrr. The teams are looking ahead to the regional tournament, hosted this year by Ashland. Although the Bayfield Quints are the defending champs, the Ashland Pure Golders are the team to beat. They're undefeated this year, and they're the only squad to top the Superior Central Vikings this year. In curling action, the H.E. Gersey Rink captured the Howard Earhart Memorial Bonspiel in Superior yesterday. The Doc Gersey men swept past the Lenny Nichols Rink 11-9. And Ray Sugar Robinson returns to his home grounds of Madison Square Garden tonight for what may be the boxing match of the year, my friends. Sugar Ray will meet Jake LaMotta, the only fighter who has beaten him in his 54 professional bouts. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport. Right, Tim?
Speaking of a good sport, Lou has a line to Jack direct from his hot vacation spot.
Oh, boy, I've got to hear this. Though I suspect there will be some gloating going on.
As long as he doesn't give any advice to war wives. Let's give a listen to the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra with singing by the Sentimentalists on the Martin and McKenna Show. Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra on the sunny side of the street. Lou Martin is on the phone with our Jack McKenna. So, Lou, is he in sunny Miami?
Hey, that's Al Capone's favorite getaway spot, so to speak.
I'm not sure where he is. All he said is that he's fishing.
Probably warming his toes in the sands on a tropical beach.
Cooling my heels is more like it.
Where are you?
Brimson.
Brimson, Florida?
Never heard of it.
Oh, no. Brimson, you say?
Yeah, I'm at some lake outside of Brimson.
Near the Everglades?
More like evergreens.
Jack's big tropical vacation is at some lake outside of Brimson, Minnesota.
Which lake?
No, some lake.
What Ray means is, which lake?
No, which lake is Mike Cromwell. Jeez.
What lake?
Which lake?
But what lake are you on now?
No, I'm at some lake. I don't know of any what lake. Maybe that's near Bemidji.
I'm lost.
Lost Lake. Now, there. That's on the Gunflint Trail.
I'll try this one more time, and then I'm quitting. Which lake are you staying at near Brimson?
Some lake. Jeez. Which lake is up the road from here?
Which lake? As in the Wicked Witch of the West, which lake?
That's the one.
At the risk of blowing a gasket, I'm backing this conversation up in my mind. You really are at a lake called Some Lake, right?
No, right is just to the east of here. And yes, I'm ice fishing in a little shack. Hey, I've got a bite. Gotta go. Boy, this is Some Lake.
Wow. I don't want to think about that phone call ever again.
Let's not speak of it. Hey, I need some of my cough medicine.
I think I'll have a bump of that, too, if you don't mind.
I believe that's a wrap, folks. We'll be back same time, same place in your radio dial, the good Lord willing, and the ice is thick enough at some lake. For Lou Martin, I'm Tim Michaels. Good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1945, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by John Munsell and Kathy Bergren. All events reported on Radio Superior 1945 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.